Simtek CD Productions presents Mufti Ismail Menk.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursalin nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man salaka tariqahum wa sara ala nahjihim wa da'a bi da'watihim ila yawmiddin. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. O Allah, we do not have knowledge besides that which you have granted us, for indeed you are most knowledgeable, most wise. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'na wanfa'na bima 'allamtana. O Allah, grant us knowledge that is beneficial and benefit us from the knowledge that you have granted us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min 'aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'a'in la yusma'. O Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use, and we seek your protection from eyes that will not cry for your sake, and we seek your protection from a heart that will not fear you, and we seek your protection from a stomach that will never be filled, a soul that will never be content, and from a dua that is made that is not answered. Ameen. Honorable ulama, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is a blessed day in this blessed city, the city of the Quran, the city of Cape Town. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. The Quran I have come across in this city is of a different standard from the Quran that we have come across in other cities in this particular continent. It is a sign of the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein His word is read in the most melodious and most correct manner. Falhamdulillahi ala dhalik. When a child is born, we become very happy. But does that child know how to read and write at the point of birth? Nay, the child does not. Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you out of the wombs of your mothers, and at that point you did not know anything. There was no chip in our brains that automatically we understood the languages. Nay, the only one who understood was Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Because Adam alayhi salatu wassalam was not born, but he was created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with a brain that was already full. He knew the names of everything. هَذَا شَجَرٌ هَذَا حَجَرٌ هَذَا جَبَلٌ and so on. This is a tree, this is a stone, and this is a mountain, was taught to him by Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. But when a child is born to one of us, as we have seen and as we see when we were born, we come to this world knowing nothing. For a few months, we cannot utter any words that make sense. But our parents keep on trying. We hope and pray the first words we know, Allah, Allah, inshallah. And as we grow in the first year and the second year, we begin to learn words. It is a difficult road, difficult task, something that we are born for. If you cannot speak a few words by the age of two, there is a problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our children the ability to be normal. If you cannot speak by the age of three, there is even a bigger problem. And we know as parents how it feels when your child is regarded as a backward child. Thereafter, at the age of four, if Allah wills, we may send our children to a day center for those of that age, in order to pass time whilst we are at work, or to learn a thing or two about A, B, C, subhanallah. The child goes in, and education is made for that child. Something very simple, very easy. They learn whilst they are playing. But as the age comes for primary school, they are sent into their first test, subhanallah. The entrance test into grade one. The entrance test into grade one is the first major test that a child goes through. Is it something good or bad? We will tell you it is something very good. But for the child and for the parents, it is a point of anxiety and disturbance. You are worried, will my child pass or fail? And therefore you go out and you strive and struggle with your child to ensure that this child knows what the child is about to be asked. And you will sit with your child and you will try and ensure that this child learns a thing or two before going for the test. Then you will drive your child to the place where the examination is about to take place. Is that not correct? You don't want to miss the timetable and the appointed time. You will arrive 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the time, sometimes even a bit more, because you know, if I am late, maybe my child will lose their place in school. And then the child goes through an examination, and the child either passes or fails. But tell me, if the child refuses to go into that exam room, will the child ever have the probability and possibility of passing? No, because the child does not want to go through the exam. How then is the child going to achieve a result? And once the child goes into that examination, inshallah, we hope and pray our children come out with a pass. And they will then go into grade one. And in grade one, tell me, do the examinations stop or is that where they start? They start. Every term there is an examination, a difficulty, a problem, something very heavy on the brains and the minds of these children. But they will come out and learn, strive and struggle. And most importantly, we will tell them, don't dodge, go to school, it is the day of the exam, go and write your examination. It is only if they write the examination that they can go into the next term and the next year. If they refuse to write and they chicken out, they will never go to grade two. In grade two, there is another major exam which takes you to grade three. And in grade three, another one. One or two examinations every year, sometimes three examinations in the year. And then we go to, in my part of the world, the grade seven examination, which is regarded as the end of primary, the beginning of secondary. There is a major examination, subhanallah. We prepare for this exam and we go through it willingly and we encourage our children and cheer them on. And we might even take extra tuition in order to encourage the child to pass the exam. Is that not correct? It is a fact of life. And thereafter, the child goes on to high school. If a child leaves before high school, we will look at that child as an uneducated school leaver, a dropout. Is that not correct? Yes, it is. But if the child continues into high school and gets to the level of matric in this country, has worked hard for 10, 11 years of schooling, is it fair for that child to say, now I'm chickening out, I don't want to go into that exam room? No, the child will work very, very hard, will spend nights without sleep, will strive and struggle and go into the exam room well prepared, knowing exactly what to expect. It is a difficulty and calamity in the direction of the child, but it is a blessing in disguise. It is only if that child goes in to the exam and writes the examination, the child will come out with 10 A's maybe. May Allah grant us A's in the dunya and the akhirah. And once positive results are achieved, we will cheer our children on to university. Is that not correct? And every year there are difficult examinations. If we fail a year, if we are lucky, we are allowed to repeat, subhanallah. We repeat and we go further until we achieve a BA degree. And thereafter, we will not stop. We go to MA and PhD, each examination becoming easier or harder? Tell me. Harder, subhanallah. But we are happily going through it because we know the only way we are going to get feathers in our caps are through these very difficult examinations. My topic today is not the topic of these worldly exams.
that we look at. But wallahi, I tell you, let me draw you to the topic back from the point of birth. When a child is born, the child is born with a purpose in this dunya. That child knows nothing. The angels do not write anything at that moment. Rufi'a al-qalam, a child who is not baligh, who is not mature, is not accountable for anything. But the parents will nurture the child, teach them alif and ba and the Quran, the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything else. Until at the point of puberty, the child's life begins in Islam. When the angels lift the pens and begin to write, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I need to test you in order for you to achieve ranks. Without a test, you will achieve no ranks. The same way in the dunya, when you have no tests, you go nowhere. You are a school leaver. You are someone who is gone out. The same way regarding deen, for every test is your opportunity to gain closeness to Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. The more tests that have come in your direction, the greater the love Allah has for you. Inna Allah idha ahabba abdan ibtalah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a worshipper of His, Allah tests that worshipper more and more. Subhanallah. So at the age of 15, the first problem you find, there is a difficulty in the home. That is a test. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Definitely Allah is with those who bear patience. Patience is an act of worship. And I will repeat the statement several times tonight. Patience is an act of worship. Had it not been for the difficulty that Allah put in your life, you would never have been chosen to engage in that great act of worship known as sabr. It is only through Allah afflicting you with a problem that Allah has chosen you to engage in a great ibadah known as sabr. Without that problem, you were not going to be from amongst the chosen ones. Without that problem, you were never going to get closeness to Allah. Allah says, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who bears patience, who bear patience. So tell me, if Allah has chosen you not to bear patience, everything is a green carpet laid in front of you, there is a problem in your life. You need to be worried. There are no difficulties coming in my direction. Is it that Allah is upset with me? Subhanallah. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل. Allah says, don't let it deceive you. The fact that the kuffar are enjoying life, we have granted it. We don't need to test them. They have already failed. Subhanallah. متاع قليل. They will have happiness for a little time. And thereafter, ثم مأواهم جهنم. Then they will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. But as for the believer, we will test you one after the other, third after the fourth and fifth and sixth. And the more tests you have, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question I pose to you tonight, my topic is sabr, as you have realized. The question is, who has suffered the most ever in history from the point of Adam alayhi salam to date? Who has suffered the most? Tell me. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he was the best of creation undoubtedly. If you have a split doubt in your mind that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is anything but the greatest, if you are doubting that, there is something wrong with your iman. So tell me, if he is the most loved to Allah, why did Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, have to test him to the degree that he was beaten up in Ta'if when he was bleeding, subhanallah, in order to grant him not only the BA degree or the MA degree or the PhD degree, but the degree known as the best of creation, subhanallah. When he was beaten, it was a test. All Allah wanted to prove to all of us is that this is my most beloved. Look at his reaction when he was in problem and try and reenact that when you are in problem. He was beaten by the people of Ta'if. What did he do? The angels came to him and told him, Ya Rasulallah, we have been commanded to crush these people at your command. The mountains will come together. These people throwing stones at you, making you bleed. We will crush them now and here. What did he say? Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people. They don't know what they are doing, ya Allah. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I am complaining to you about my weakness. Look at how weak I am. They are not even listening to me. Allahu Akbar. Yet he was the strongest from all of us. The hadith says, u'tiya quwwat 30 rajul. He was granted the power of 30 men. 30. 30 men. One man had that power. And he is complaining, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I am complaining to you regarding my own weakness. Subhanallah. That is the degree he achieved. Another problem. It is reported that his face was such as though the moon, the full moon, was in front of you. And what happened? He was attacked on his forehead, a huge scar from one side to the other. Subhanallah. That was a test. How do you react? Subhanallah. In the battle of Uhud, his teeth that were so brilliant, subhanallah. We know what happened. Two of his teeth were martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A test. How did he react? I give you an incident. In the early days of Nubuwah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarramah, beyond the age of 40, he had already started his message in Mecca, and we know what the people of Mecca did to him. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that to happen? Is Allah not in control? Allah is in total control. But in order to put a stamp on the love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted this to happen to his most beloved. Therefore, when we taste a few problems in this dunya, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, you have granted me such an opportunity to engage in an act of worship known as sabr. Had it not been for this problem you put in my life, I was never going to be accepted to engage in the act of worship that you chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to engage in. Subhanallah. He was seated and an old lady happened to pass by with a lot of belongings. And he got up as a Nabi. My dear mother, can I help you? She was amazed. Someone beyond the age of 40. Remember, he got Nubuwa at the age of 40. Wanting to help me? An old lady with my belongings? Oh, my dear son, she says, you are one of the best people I have come across. No one has offered me assistance like this, young or old. There are very few people like you in this world. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam insisted, she decided to take him up on the offer. Yes, these are my belongings. Carry them for me. He was carrying them, her belongings, heavy belongings, on his Mubarak head, subhanallah. And she began, my dear son, you are the best. You are one of the best people with a good character, good conduct. I like the way you speak, everything about you. Let me warn you. There is a man in Mecca, a dangerous man who has come with a poisonous call. He is calling us to leave our gods. He is calling us to leave our leaders and to follow one creator. What he is speaking about is nonsense. He has come with something new, an innovation. We need to fight him with our souls and blood. And we need to ensure that we chop his mission off before it begins. In Mecca, that is the speech. My dear son, I have a feeling for you. That is why I'm warning you. It is reported, my dear son, that anyone who looks at him, anyone who looks at him or listens to him is mesmerized. And it is as though he has the power of magic with him. Automatically, they accept him and they take him as prophet. What on earth is going on in Mecca? And she kept on and on, blaspheming and swearing, the same man who was carrying her goods. What did he do? Last night, did we not speak about silence? He remained silent. It was not the right time to speak. Remember, silence is golden at certain times. When a problem is too big for you to solve, maybe try silence. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي آيَةً
قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة أيام إلا رمزا.
زكريا عليه السلام was told when he said, Ya Allah, how am I going to face the people? My difficulty is too great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Your sign remains silent. Don't speak to the people except through signs for 3 days.
And remember Allah a lot, subhanallah. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. He remained silent. He knew this is an old lady. There is no point for me to discuss anything with her at this moment in time. I must remain focused. I am trying to help her to get her goods from point A to point B. When he got to her home, he released the goods and he asked, looking at her, My dear mother, is there anything else I can do for you? Anything in the home you would like me to help you with? Subhanallah, she looked at him, dazzled and amazed and amused and bewildered. My dear son, you are a young gentleman, the first of a kind. I thank you for what you have done. You may depart, there is nothing else I want. And as he walked away, she remembered, I forgot to ask him who he is. How did he react? Was that not a test? Think of it, if someone had to swear you today, how would you react to them? Forget about swear. Sometimes we swear those who have not even sworn us. And we claim to be followers of the same man I'm speaking about today. Is it fair? When she recalled that I did not ask him his name, she beckoned the young man. Young man, I admit you are one of the best people I've come across. Who is your lucky father? Who is your lucky mother? Who are the lucky parents to whom you were born? This was the point of da'wah for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 out of 10, subhanallah. He looked down and he said, My dear mother, imagine still addressing her, My dear mother, after all the swear words. Yet he was Nabi Mursal. The angels were with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly with him. Subhanallah. My dear mother, as I lifted your goods up, you began to speak about a man in Makkah. You began to utter words from your mouth about this young gentleman in Makkah, whose name you have already mentioned. It is me, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the son of Abdullah of Quraysh. And wallahi, this woman looked at him. She began to cry. In kana kadhalik fa inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluh. If that is the case, I have no doubt in my mind. I bear witness that Allah is one whom you are calling towards, and you are indeed a messenger of Allah. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Look at that degree that was achieved by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me, did he not bear patience? What was the fruit of that patience? Subhanallah. Today we have problems not with strange people on the street like that. In our own homes, we don't want to even help our own family members. We want to utter every word, and we want to spoil relations with those who are trying their best to mend relations with us. I will fix him. I will fix her. I don't need them. They don't need me. Where did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need this woman from? Tell me. Look at that. The exam, subhanallah. These are the examinations of the dunya that we will be going through on a daily basis. Everything that comes in your direction, every single item, every day of your life is tailor-made for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your entire life rotates around one thing. How do you react? That is the question. The adhan is called. How do you react? Your wife burns the food. How do you react? Every time you are granted the opportunity to get a feather on your cap, to pass the test with flying colors, but we choose to fail. Let me take you through a few examples. You arrive at home. You can smell burning food. What do you do? How do you react? Allah, above the seven heavens, decided that He wants to give you an opportunity to get close to Him by making that poor wife of yours burn the food unintentionally. No one's wife burns the food intentionally.
And Allah is looking at you, giving you the opportunity to come close to Him by reacting in the right manner. That's all it takes from you. React in the right manner. But what do we do? When we smell, shaitan comes and makes a noise in our belly and we confirm we are hungry. A hungry man is an angry man. We've heard that. And we storm into the home. What the hell is going on here? Etc. etc. Big words that cannot be mentioned in the masjid. Who do you think you are? Have you passed or failed? Tell me. Failed. That is all that was wanted from you. To write the word pass or fail next to your name and carry on to the next exam. That's it. You failed dismally. Some of us might beat up our wives over something small. Now tell me, how do you think Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have reacted when that test happened to him? If I were to go into the home, or one of us were to go into the home, we smell burning food. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Smile at your wife. Rush towards the kitchen. Switch off the stove. Take this thing. Put it under the tap. Look at her. Give her a big hug. Tell her, look, don't worry. Everyone makes mistakes. The food is burned today. Never mind. I will make eggs today. We will eat these eggs, inshallah. What do you think she will think about you? Where did this angel drop from, subhanallah? Those eggs will land you to Jannah wallahi, thumma wallah. Those are the eggs that will bring you closer to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me now, have you passed or failed? Passed. Then the word pass written next to your name, move on to the next exam. As you walk out of your home, someone has scratched your vehicle, subhanallah. Anyone who ever has a motor vehicle, listen to me today, it has to be scratched and dented and smashed one day or another. Not because there was something bad intended in your direction. Allah intended to choose you to engage in an act of worship known as sabr. And Allah intended to test you so you could pass a test. Allah is watching your reaction and that's it. If you come out and utter the biggest swear words, as we were, and begin to doubt this one and that one, that youngster drove past 5 minutes ago, I'm going to kill the daylights out of him, subhanallah. Have you passed or failed? Fail. Some of us will take guns and begin to shoot in the air wildly. What has happened? That is a motor vehicle. It is a scratch. You lost nothing. Subhanallah. It is a dent. Imagine you look up at the skies and say, Ya Allah, this is only material. There is one scratch. But if you are happy with me, I don't mind, Ya Allah. What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in Taif? Ya Allah, if you are happy with me, there is nothing else I need. Subhanallah. We should thank Allah when we see something. This is another level, a level of wilaya. You become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something bad happens, first things first, thank Allah, it could have been worse. And thank Allah to give you the opportunity to engage in sabr. Inna Allah ma'as sabireen. That car has to be scratched, believe me. And I'm sure everyone here who owns a vehicle, their cars are scratched, believe me. Let me take you to another test. Come out on the street. Someone has to laugh at you one day. It has to happen.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ.
Indeed, the criminals used to laugh at the believers in the dunya. Because Allah wants to give you the opportunity to go through a little bit of what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. You have to look down and carry on. Don't turn towards those who are trying to distract you. Subhanallah. Look down and carry on. You will feel a quality of nubuwah to a lower degree, but it will come into your heart. You will feel you have gained something. Next to your name will be written pass, pass, pass. You pass not only with 10 A's, but wallahi with distinctions. Every problem that came in your way, you reacted in the right way. Suddenly you find your child is involved in drugs, subhanallah. How do you react? Do you react in the wrong way, which makes the problem even bigger? Firstly, by denying, or secondly, by overreacting. Or do you call your child, tell him, listen, my son, I love you, my daughter, I love you, I know your problem, don't worry, I will help you through your problem. Half of it is me to blame. Subhanallah. Share the blame. Go out and help your child. Come out, hug that child, become the companion of the child. That is how you will assist the child. You find out someone has AIDS. What do? Disassociate yourself. Is that how we are supposed to be doing as Muslims? Or you give them a big hug and say, Ya Akhi, Ya Ukhti, Allah has chosen you to go through so much in the Akhirah. You will never go through that again. Allah only punishes once. You might be in Jannah before me, oh my dear sister who has AIDS. Because if you bear sabr, Allah has put you in this situation. He wants to see. He has said, Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. He is with those who bear patience. You have to bear the greatest patience. Subhanallah, the stigma behind those who have AIDS. Who knows, Allah might test us. May He save us. If Allah has decided to test any one of us with that disease or with the worst disease, is there anything we are going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing. It can happen innocently as well. But remember one thing. When you help someone in a situation, when you are in a similar situation, wallah, Allah will create people to help you. The hadith says, those who go out to visit the sick, when they are sick, Allah will create people who will come to visit them. Those who help the old to walk when they are old, Allah will create people who will help them to walk. Subhanallah. From this we learn, kama tadinu tudan. How you do to others, so shall be done upon you. These are the tests of the dunya, one after the other. Can I take you through another one? A very strong one, a powerful one. Wallahi, listen to me very carefully. Every single one of you, at some point or another, someone very, very close to you has to leave the world. Either you go or they have to go. One of the two. Those who are married, one of you have to go before the other. Have you ever sat and thought of that reality? Those who are widowed or those who are widowers have already understood. Someone close to you has to go. Those who have children, you go or they go before you. That is the ultimate test. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the question is, who was his most beloved child? Can I name him? Ibrahim, subhanallah. And what happened to Ibrahim? He passed away in infancy. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam caught him, the tears rolled down and he said, Inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma a'ta wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. Indeed, everything belongs to Allah. Whatever He has taken away belongs to Him. Whatever He had given in the first place also belonged to Him. And everything He has ever created has a fixed time. This young boy's time expired. That is when you need to bear sabr. Innama sabr inda sadmati al-ula. Sabr is when the calamity first attacks you. When you hear that your husband has passed away, your wife has passed away, your son died in a crash, your daughter has passed away, your mother, your father has died. The reaction upon hearing that news is what the angels and Allah are watching. Pass or fail, pass with flying colors can be written next to your name. You are hurt because of the dunya, you are hurt. But you must be consoled by the fact that you are a mu'min. That is why Allah has made it a condition of iman in order to save us from problem. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad fate as mu'mineen, we acknowledge, we accept, we believe that it is from Allah alone, He is in control. In another version, وَالْقَدْرِ حُلْوِهِ وَمُرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Taqdeer, Whether it is sweet or sour is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear listeners, there are certain things you can do nothing about. There are tests from Allah that have come in your direction. The only thing you can do is to ensure that your reaction results in a pass and not a fail. If we are to tear our clothes, beat our faces, slit our bodies, become suicidal, we have failed. Today we have a small problem. I can give you the cream of the problems today. My dear youth, open your ears and listen. We fall in love with someone, we can't marry them. Why? Something somewhere down the line is a hindrance. Either our parents, their parents, community, society, they are married already, there is a problem with them, something is wrong. So we die, we become suicidal because of that. Have you passed or failed your exam? Fail, dismally. Understand and realize, bear patience for the sake of Allah. You might have to get married to someone else. We don't all have what we want in this life. That will only be in Jannah. If we had to get that here, what was the point of going to Jannah? Why do we have to go to Jannah when whatever we want, we are getting it in the dunya? So that is good news to us, to say this dunya is not always for you to get what you want to get. Subhanallah, take a look at the Sahabiyun Jalil, Abu Nasir radiyallahu anhu. After Sulhul Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which was signed between the Muslims and the Kufar of Quraysh. What happened? They had signed there that anyone leaving Medina who goes to Mecca, we will accept him in Mecca. But anyone who comes out of Mecca to Medina, you must send him back. That was part of the treaty. It sounds very unfair. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had agreed with all that. And so did the Muslims. So when Abu Nasir came down from Mecca after that treaty to Medina, he was stopped at the doors of Madinatul Munawwara. They saw his face had bruises. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that he was beaten up. He was maltreated as a Muslim. How can Muslims hand over another Muslim to the kuffar? But wallahi, when you have a treaty, what to do? The Muslims are none to break their treaties. It was a test from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him. But before he could utter a word, Abu Nasir's father, who happened to be from the Muhajireen, who were already in Medina, looked at his own son and said, "Ya Rasulullah, he is part of my body, but I will honor the agreement, send him back to Mecca." Subhanallah. And he saw his son crying, "My dear father, what are you uttering? I am hurt, they will kill me, they will do this, they will do that." He looked, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I will honor the treaty, send him back to Mecca." Subhanallah. Abu Nasir was a Sahabi. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No sooner had they been discussing this matter than two kuffar had appeared from Mecca. They were sent to go and get back Abu Nasir. They found the situation. They told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "We have come to collect this man." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked down and said, "Please take him. Take him." This man was shocked, but he knew that there is some wisdom in this. I need to pass the test. He turned around and he went. And as he walked, as they rode to Mecca, they stopped in a certain place for one of the partners to use the toilet. And the other began to boast with Abu Nasir to say, "You see my sword? It is a Saif Muhannad. The steel comes from the Indian subcontinent. It is one of the best swords here." And Abu Nasir looked at him and said, "Yes, you are indeed correct. It is one of the best swords I've ever seen. Can I have a look at it?" No sooner had the sword been placed in his hand than the head of the kuffar was on the ground. That man's head was on the ground. And now when his companion returned from the loo, he noticed the head of his companion very near. That time there were no loos like ours. You had to go to a distance in order to use the loo. When he saw the head, he began to race. Where would he get protection in Makkah or Medina. Wallahi, in Medina. He knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just. His people would probably kill him to say, how could you allow this to have happened? He ran back to Medina. Ya Rasulullah, imagine, he's a mushrik. Now he's admitting, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my companion was killed, and this Abu Nasir wanted to kill me as well, and I ran to you, save me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you too need to go back to Makkah. That's our agreement. What happened to Abu Nasir? We sent him away. Whether he got to Makkah or not is besides the point. We sent him away. Abu Nasir radiallahu anhu, he moved further. He went into the desert. He created a little camp. Anyone who used to pass there from amongst the Muslims, he began to join them until they created a group of men. Every caravan of the mushrikeen that passed in that direction, they were waylaid. And they were attacked. And the mushrikeen suffered at the hands of Abu Nasir and his minor army, subhanallah. Until they sent a message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, oh Muhammad, Abu Nasir and his army have inflicted great damage to Quraysh. Please, we allow a little clause in this treaty and we ask you to get him into Medina and keep him there. Take him to Medina and keep him there. Imagine, that's where his heart was. Look at what happened. The mushriks had to make a clause to allow that to happen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Uthman ibn Affan to write a note to send it to Abu Nasir. He sent people. Abu Nasir received the note. He read it on his deathbed and he uttered twice, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He uttered it for a second time and his eyes closed. He passed away not having ever gone to Madinatul Munawwara. Tell me, where is he today? He never seen goodness in his life. His whole life, from point of birth to point of death, was problem after problem. To him, it was the opportunity to gain closeness to Allah. He passed in the dunya and the akhirah. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. From amongst the believers, there are certain numbers of them who have fulfilled their promise that they have made to Allah. Some of them have already got to Allah and others are in waiting. May Allah make us from amongst those who are also in waiting. He did not see goodness. This example I am giving you today to show you that this dunya does not have to be rosy. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have good health. It is how you react with your situation that will make your akhirah or break it. Today we have health problems. Bear patience. And you should know, every time you bear patience with those legs of yours that might be suffering in arthritis and so on, every time you have to suffer because of your kidneys or because of a cancer you might have, so on and so forth, Allah is writing off your sins. And when your sins are complete, He raises your ranks and your level. So don't despair. Don't blame Allah. Don't complain about taqdeer. It is reported that when the sick man who was terminally ill on the day of Qiyamah sees the reward of his sickness, he will say, Ya Allah, why didn't you keep me sick all my life? I could have seen a greater reward. Today we have a slight cough and a flu and a fever, and we get so depressed, we don't know whether we are coming or going. Today we have a financial problem. We resort to haram methods of paying our debts. Have we passed or failed? We don't mind suffering in this dunya so long as we get the akhirah. Look at Bilal ibn Rabah. We know what happened to him. Salman al-Farisi. We don't have time to go into his history. Wallahi, he was the son of one of the kings of his areas. Subhanallah. Do we know that? Salman al-Farisi's father was Za'im al-Qawm, the leader of his own nation. He was a young man kept in the house. He was not allowed to go out. They used to worship the fire. Until when he was very old, one day he was allowed to walk out. His father told him to get something. And when he went out, he noticed Christians worshipping. He stood at the door of the church watching. And in his heart, he said, we are fire worshippers, but these people are better than us. That was his path to in search of the truth until he was taken. In fact, his father tied him with leg irons, subhanAllah, in the home. When he came home and told his father what had happened, very upset, he sent a message to the church saying, I am son of so and so, but I am part of your church. When the elders come from Syria, please send me a message. I will make a plan and leave with you. And he ended up in Syria. And from Syria, subhanAllah, he met with one of the rabbis or the popes of the time, and the second one and the third one, cutting a long story short, until the last one told him, now there are no more good rabbis. The time has come for Allah to send another messenger. Where will he come? He will come in a place, and the place was described. And you will find a caravan of Jews going in that direction. He joined the caravan. Those Jews saw this man from Persia. They sold him as a slave in Medina. Subhanallah. Where did they sell him? In Medina. Munawwara. What got him to Medina from Persia? Had he not been enslaved, he would have never been able to have gone to Medina. Subhanallah. How did he hear about Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was enslaved and sold in Medina. That was the plan of Allah. Subhanallah. With us, we would be very upset if we were enslaved, not realizing it's a blessing in disguise. I give you yet another example. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah decided that Allah wants to raise him higher than his brothers. So Allah had to put in his life what we might look as problem. We might look at it as problem after problem. But that was the only way he was going to become the king of Egypt. Subhanallah. Had he not been thrown in the well, he was not going to be picked up by those who picked him up. Had he not been picked up, he was not going to be sold in the house of the leader of Egypt. Had he not been sold, he would not have been abused. Had he not been abused, he would not have gone into the jail. All these things look like they are negative issues, don't they? One after the other, the most handsome creature on earth. And this is what has to happen to him? So I want to show you that ease in this world has got nothing to do with Allah being happy with you. Nothing at all. Sometimes difficulty in this world and health problems, family problems, poverty, so on and so forth. Sometimes those are signs that Allah loves you. That is the point I am making today. Sabr. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. A person who has never been tested. What did Allah say about the kuffar? The fact that the kuffar are rich on earth and they have no problems on earth, don't let that deceive you. They will be granted respite and leisure and pleasure for a small period of time. ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Then their final abode will be Jahannam. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was sold, he was imprisoned. They falsely accused him of zina. They planned and calculated mischief against him. But one day, did the tables not turn? Allah tests you. You go through, as I said, grade 1, 2, 3, 4. The bigger the test, the hadith says, عِظَمُ الْأَجْرِ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْإِبْتِلَى. The greater reward is with the test that is greater. Today, we don't want to go through big tests. Something happens at your factory and you lost your hand. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We don't only say it, we believe it. We belong to Allah. We are going to return to Allah. I will now live without a hand, but in Jannah, my hand will be made of gold, inshallah. Subhanallah. You have surrendered to the command of Allah. This is how and when you will achieve success. And this is when we will go from point to point, further and further. Then when Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was the leader, he was made in charge of the granaries of Egypt, and his brothers came in. They threw him away because they wanted to be better than him. And Allah had decided the only way he would be better than them was for them to throw him away. Subhanallah. What did they say when he asked them, do you know what you did to Yusuf? Immediately they asked him,
أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ.
Is it that you are Yusuf? No one knew about the story besides us and him.
He said, أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي.
I am Yusuf. This is my brother.
قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا.
Allah has indeed favored us. Subhanallah. Did he ever say, Allah threw me in the well and Allah made this happen to me and I was sold? Did he ever complain?
Nay, not even once.
In fact, he looked at it as a gift. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has granted us indeed a very massive favor. And the brothers immediately said,
لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ.
Allah has indeed raised you above us. We had indeed made big mistakes. Today, our brothers do something wrong. We don't want to talk to them. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers wanted to kill him. But when it came to giving grain, he gave them more than they deserved, without even telling them. And he returned their merchandise. In one narration, he is the one who paid for it. Today, when our fathers come to our own businesses, we charge them. It's a fact. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in spite of the evil that they did, he was better with them. He was good with them. He continued. Why? They all knew that everything is a test. And next to your name, with every test, is written either pass or fail. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ.
On the day of Qiyamah, the mu'mineen will be granted a chance to laugh at the kuffar. Those who were laughed at will be granted a chance to laugh at those who were laughing at them. So the message is loud and clear. Bear patience for the sake of Allah. And understand everything that happens in your life, every single thing. If your shoes disappear from that rack, Allah is just seeing, how do you react? Do you blame this man, that man? Who knows? Once you've ended up blaming everyone, suddenly you find your shoes, you look like a fool. But who knows if you surrender to the command of Allah and you say, Ya Allah, whatever you have decided is the best for me. Maybe there was something wrong in those shoes. I will now go up. I will walk barefoot for a few moments and then I will wear my slippers. Or I will try to buy a pair of shoes very soon. I will not whinge and whine. Have you passed or failed? Then believe you me, moments later you will find your shoes. Subhanallah. That is the power of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was tested. Allah wanted to see, does he surrender to the command? But Allah did not intend harm. When he decided to surrender to the command, he had the knife, he had his son, he rolled the knife. Allah says,
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا.
At that point, we called out to him, Ya Ibrahim, can there be a better calling than Allah calling out to you? Subhanallah. Allah is saying, we called out to him and we told him, now you have passed the test. We have replaced your son with a ram from Jannah and it will remain that ram forever and ever. Up to this day, we reenact that ibadah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Was that not the highest level of sabr? Inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to comprehend that everything that occurs is in order to test us. Pass or fail. Wallahi, 20, 30 times a day we are tested. But I'd like you to go home and think very carefully about these tests. The electricity might go. The price of petrol might increase. Everything is just a test for you to see how do you react. Do you swear? Do you react in the wrong manner? Or do you react in the manner? Had Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been here, he would have reacted in that manner. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Nice CD, man.
Yeah, Simtek that.
Oh, what do you mean?
Simtek?
What's that?
What do you mean, what's that? Eh? That's a CD.
No, I know it's a CD. I'm asking you, what is that?
What is what?
Semtech.
Huh?
I'm asking you, what is Semtech?
Hey, I told you what is Semtech, man. Semtech is a CD.
And what is that?
Hey, that's what I asked you, man.
What do you mean?
What is what?
Okay, leave what. Who is Semtech?
Huh? Who is Semtech? How must I know Semtech? Do I look like Semtech?
Then why you said Semtech from the beginning? You're the one that said Semtech.
Oh, so that makes me Semtech.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm Semtech. Hello, Semtech.
Why you don't just answer the question?
What question?
The same question I asked you from the beginning. Who is Semtech?
Hey, you lying.
What?
You asked me what is Semtech.
Whatever. Don't miss the point.
Hey, you don't even know what your point is, man.
I do.
You don't.
I know exactly what I'm asking you.
You don't know what you're asking. What you're asking?
I'm asking you Semtech.
Right, Semtech.
What is it? Who is it? How is it? When is it? What is Semtech?
And I told you from the beginning, Semtech is a CD.
It's a CD?
Yeah.
How can it be a CD?
What do you mean, how can it be a CD?
Hey.
No, we are listening to the CD now. You're asking me, how can it be a CD?
Oh, okay, that's it. Semtech is a CD.
Yeah, Semtech CD. Got it.
Hey, what's the road, man?
Oh my goodness, did you see that?
Hey, okay, huh? Semtech is a CD. Please drop me off in the corner.
Semtech, Islamic CDs. South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.